Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Well, anyway, so we were discussing, so like we were discussing people's like approach to the bar exam and like good approaches and bad approaches, and we were talking about like arrogance. You know, there's a time to be arrogant and a time to be humble.
Okay.
And the time to be, you know, when you're studying for the bar exam, you should be very humble.
In what way, like?
Don't approach things like, I have this, you know, I don't need to study this material, or like, I know everything, I'm really good at essays, I don't need to do something. But one shouldn't be humble on the test itself.
So there's a time for humbleness before the test?
Yeah, no, you right.
Yeah,
you
before the test.
Right, so like before the test itself, you need to be humble in when you approach the exam. Don't think you're, you know, better than the test, or you know, I mean, you should approach it with a certain level of respect. It's a large undertaking.
Right.
And to get through it is a process.
It's kind of like that saying where, you know, how it goes like, you know, practice like it's the real thing, and then do the real thing as if it's practice.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, right?
But the other side of that is when you take the test, you should approach it from an arrogant manner.
Like when you're actually taking the test.
Yes. And what I mean by that is you should, let me tell you like an example that some people do. You know, they're studying, they get to a question, and they feel timid about kind of showing off on the exam itself.
Yeah, you shouldn't be
holding
back.
Or you don't fully know the topic, so you don't want to show what you do know and make up what you don't know. And so like I think the kind of the plan of attack there is to be it. So unlike the practice of law, where you shouldn't be bold about things you're not sure about, you because these tests don't super penalize people for incorrect law and incorrect application, you should always go for it. You should always, you know, and you should be bold in it. Explain everything that you know about a topic within the question call. Don't be timid and say, well, I'm not 100% sure about something, or I'm not, you know, and therefore I don't want them to think I'm stupid. So you have to be, you know, be arrogant, you know, when you're taking the test, and don't be humble when you're taking the test, because it's your time to show off. That's the only way that you're going to get
those
kind of points.
Like, I mean, like, when you're practicing and you're studying, you should aim to be like multiple notches above what you need to pass the exam.
Exactly.
But then like on the actual test, like there are different circumstances that knock you down a few notches.
Exactly.
And then you just have to go all out. It's kind of like in multiple choice, you're just going to guess even if you don't know, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you're studying, aim to try and know everything about everything. Do your best to kind of attempt to, you know, kind of get as much of the right answers as possible.
Yeah.
But on the, you know, don't, on the actual exam itself, don't shoot for perfection. Don't, you know, you don't need to make sure everything that you say is necessarily correct law, necessarily correct, you know, facts. Don't approach it like an actual client situation where there's malpractice and whatnot on the line.
Well, I mean, that's not to say that you shouldn't try to
aim for
a good score, right? You know, you're not just going to BS it the whole way.
Of course. But I don't think anybody has a problem with that. I think there's a greater chance that people, when they blank out on a question or blank out on, you know, or are sure about one part of an answer but not sure about, like, a secondary issue, they don't want to take that step and possibly look a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
You have to kind of shed that, be arrogant, don't care too much about what people think of you, and you'll inevitably do better than if you don't respond or you choose not to respond to certain issues because you can't remember all of the aspects or know that you're going to get it entirely correctly.
Well, this wouldn't be my main strategy, though. This is like when you're actually stuck and, you don't really know what to do.
No, exactly. I wouldn't rely on arrogance during the test itself. I mean, in a perfect situation, you would be comfortable with all of the issues. You would be comfortable with all of the law. You would be comfortable. You would know this is definitely an issue. This is definitely not an issue. But generally speaking, situation doesn't happen for every question.
Yeah.
And now, so in those times when you are questioning, you're like, oh, it's, these I know are the elements, but, is this an element or is that the element or is that the exception? You kind of gotta, don't leave anything. Because of the way that, like, all of the bar exams are graded, it's basically like giving you points for getting stuff.
Yeah.
They're not like, it's not like a driving test where if you blow a stop sign, it doesn't matter if you've done everything else well.
I have to qualify that last part. I mean, if you're just like throwing in the whole sink and there's like no kind of, you're not picking out the right issues, I guess. Like, for example, if the fact pattern is clearly about intentional torts and you're just going off into negligence, like in the second half of your answer, then I think that's going to harm your score.
It's only going to harm your score because of time.
What do you mean?
Time in the sense that you can't get to everything that you need. So if the call of the question is discuss all of the intentional torts that you see.
Yeah.
I've never seen a call like that, but assuming that that was the call of the question, and you start talking about negligence for some reason, I don't think they would penalize that stuff. It would just be irrelevant.
So you're saying if you discuss all the, important intentional torts, and then afterwards you tack on something about negligence?
I don't think that's necessarily going to help you in that case. But if the call were broader or potentially broader, and you can tack on some additional subtopics that you may see. So here's the problem with the bar exam. You don't know exactly what issues there are. Sometimes there are issues that they don't even think about that, the facts somehow present to you. Because you don't know the grading rubric when you're taking the test, it's better to be as inclusive as possible. Don't worry about, going slightly beyond the call of the question, as long as you hit this, I like to think of it like this: hit the necessary stuff first, and then you can kind of branch out, because you don't know exactly what the rubric is going to give points to and what the rubric is not going to give points to.
Well, when I took the exam in 2013, the July one, I think one of the torts. One of the essays was a torts question, and it did ask for intentional torts, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay.
And I don't remember if I talked about negligence, but I definitely didn't talk about everything, which got me a pretty low score on that one.
Yeah.
But I think if the call asked for an intentional torts, what the torts might be, intentional torts might be, and then you discuss negligence, I think that might actually be not only not helpful, but it might actually deduct points for it, because like the instructions.
But I don't think they actually do that. I don't think any of the rubrics actually do point deduction for saying things that aren't within the call. They will just ignore those things.
Well, the rubric may not have negligence on it, but like the instructions, like if you open up the essay booklet, there are instructions on the first page or whatever. And it says, we're testing you on the ability to discern and identify like relevant legal issues.
Sure.
So if you're talking about, if you're just, like, I mean, let's say you hit all the intentional torts, which is great, you get a 65, and then you talk about negligence. I don't know. At the
Now,
nose, it's not going to help.
right. Clearly, it's not going to help you. Clearly, it's not going to help you. But I'm talking about situations where you're kind of on the fence. Or, is this, like, clearly, if they ask about torts, don't start talking about contracts. Don't do things that are completely, that you know are out of the bounds. But where there's a question of, should I mention this or should I not mention this? Where you are, waffling on whether it's worth including or not, err on the side of including it as long as you have time.
I agree with that. If the call is broad enough for you to be able to consider that, then yeah, you should.
Exactly,
And you should also order it by importance too. So if it looks like
exactly.
an intentional torts type of question, you see the elements of rules for intentional torts, then you should probably discuss those first in a later kind of, if you see like a small negligence issue, then
I think
tack
it's
that on.
and I think it's worth it because you don't know exactly what's on that rubric. You don't know whether, whether this is a minor issue or whether you're just making it up. And if you're making it up, they really don't penalize you.
Well,
Like judges will penalize you. In real life, you commit malpractice by stating law incorrectly, by doing, by doing things wrong, by being overly arrogant. On the test, it does not penalize you. It's you have to change your mindset from do you know from taking on the from be having to be 100% right to one where close enough is good enough.
I'm not sure about whether they penalize you or not. Like that's like up in the, in the spire, wherever the examiners and the graders, like on the toilet or wherever they grade the tests, you know. I mean, I've never been a grader, so I don't know, but
Sure, I've never either.
I mean, I guess you have a point that you should err if you're like kind of on the fence, but
Yeah.
you shouldn't be too kind of liberal with it.
Well, I don't think so. The thing is, I mean, time constraints will hinder you from going off the rails completely. And so, generally speaking, it's good to, if you're at, I think, it's an hour a question, and you should be pretty hard on yourself about that hour per question. I would move on, pretty much, an hour has been hit. Definitely move on to question two. Come back if you have time, because low-hanging fruit is worth points. And if you can get those points quicker, on a different question, definitely do it. But, and so if time is less of a concern, if you have, half an hour at the end, and you know where you've gotten all of the low-hanging fruit, and you were questioning whether, oh, whether this is, whether this is the area of law or that's the area, not if this is the area of law, but like if this is the correct statement of law or not, be bold. Don't not include, like if you for, if you forgot about, part of the, it's a negligence issue, and you forgot part of, legal cause. You forgot legal cause.
Oh, that's
I
pretty
know there's,
important.
yes, it is. But you remember, oh, there is that other kind of, there is the, there's more to just this causation element than just kind of but-for causation. What should I do? Don't leave out one part, if because you're not going to be completely correct. Don't ever, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
Is there anything you should just make something up, describe maybe the idea,
Yeah,
kind of
well, the,
paraphrase,
yeah, do
paraphrase?
whatever you, well, I was definitely saying do whatever you can. Do what you can. Make it up and be, be bold about it. There is, there is, give it a name. There, one of the elements of negligence is extra cause. And talk about how.
Is that your bean soup?
Yes, I.
I needed the microwave. I took it out,
Okay,
so that's
awesome.
why.
It didn't get everywhere, did it?
No,
Okay,
that's
good.
fine.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. So like if you for I mean, generally speaking, better to know all of the issues.
And ideally, you would outline it ahead of time and know how much time you're approximately going to spend on each, like, you know, big issues, each of the big issues.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a level of granularity that I never got to.
No, I mean, if you're going to be strict about 1 hour per essay, which you should do,
yes,
then you should, you know, be able to tell, you know, is this going to take a long time or, you know.
I never really got to that level of granularity.
Oh. Well.
Just because I would just kind of, like, I generally will outline. Like,
yeah.
I think outlining is good.
You should.
But I never do an approximate, like, I don't break up that hour.
I mean, you don't have to do it for every one, but for example, on the 2014 February one, there was this giant remedies one for question 6. It was the last one. And the more you kind of read the fact pattern, the more you realize you have to discuss all these issues. There are, like, I don't know, more than 10 or something. Like, you pretty much had to talk about every remedies issue. And for that one, I kind of had to allocate, you know, like, 5 minutes for this one, 10 minutes for this one.
Sure.
So,
where you can see just a ton of things, like, the 2010 Massachusetts bar had an evidence question that was, like, parts A through, like, G. You know.
Are just different calls?
Yeah, yeah. Like, different questions.
And how many minutes do you have for an essay?
I think you had... Okay, let me think. I think it was 6 hours total, and then I think there were 10 essays.
Oh, they don't give you, like, suggested times for each essay?
Yeah, so it's 5 for 3 hours.
Okay.
And that means, yeah, so it's like 45 minutes an essay.
Okay.
No, a little bit less than that. It's like 30 minutes. Between 30 and 45
minutes. Three-fifths of an hour.
What?
Three-fifths of an hour.
Yeah. An essay. And so, like, you really needed to just kind of hit, move on. Hit,
yep.
Move on. There, I mean, I would definitely, like, you know, I remember kind of thinking, okay, well, I should get, you know, I have about 3-4 minutes each one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of crazy for part of an essay. But, like, other than that, which, I mean, that question was just nuts. But other than that, like, I didn't even outline that one.
Yeah, you just write, right?
Yeah, because, like, the nice thing about, and that was handwriting.
They didn't let you...
Well, at that particular point in time, Massachusetts didn't have... I was like, what I would do now, if you have the computer access, I would definitely kind of... You can outline when you're going.
You can... Some people actually outline on the on the computer, but I kind of like to have,
like
on the paper.
I like to scratch something out, and then I will, like, kind of very broad... Like, I won't make any rule statements on the paper in an outline. I'll put that in the essay itself, kind of take my broad outline, here's big issue, here's some sub-issues, and then I'll take that, put it on the, you know, put that on the screen, and then write rules there rather than writing them on an outline just because...
Yeah, I mean, that works great for, like, the performance test where you have to write, like, chunks of rules anyway from, like, pulled from the case.
Exactly, and I think those are great, you know, but I've never done, like, in the middle of essays. And, like, if you are somebody who feels, like, in all of your practice are getting very time-crunched, like, if you're a type of person that will need, like, an hour and a half to do the hour essay, I would definitely be a little bit more time conscious and kind of make sure you hit issues in kind of a fashion that allows you to get through, to get at least the low-hanging fruit of multiple, questions.
Yeah. I don't know how it was for Massachusetts. Maybe they just gave you 5 essays. Here, do them in 3 hours. In California, I think they're actually designed. I think they're designed to be able to be answered in 1 hour. Each,
yeah.
So.
But you don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to. Definitely.
And that's nice because sometimes you totally, you know, your brain goes to mush when you're trying to answer something. I mean, it's good to move on. You know, the back of your mind will continue kind of processing, trying to pull something together. I'm a big fan of moving on and then coming back to it.
Well, one thing you could do if you're like the type to get easily nervous or whatever, I look at all three essay questions and maybe start with the subject that I'm kind of in the middle, not too confident, but not not too hard either, and start with there.
What I like to do is start with the one where like you like know the rule, like
easy ones.
Well, not like the. So I don't. Easy, hard, you have to get to it anyway, so like easy doesn't matter to me, but like the one where like you weren't like remembering the rule statement particularly well, but like you kind of have it in the back of your head, you know, I would hit that first to just kind of be free with that particular piece of data.
So it's not like lingering in your mind?
Exactly. Kind of, so that way you're not thinking about, okay, got to remember that because that's the question coming up. I would kind of just be able to just be free.
Yeah.
And
free up your RAM, pretty much.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just the space that it's taking in your head. It's like the mental processing, like, ooh, I got to remember that. Ooh, I got to remember that. That then I think is the worst.
Especially for you, because you have 5 essays to do, right? So.
Well, that was crazy. Yeah, that's a, it might have been 12 essays. It might have been 6, and each was half an hour. Like, it was crazy. It was just.
Does it vary every administration?
No. There was a definite one. I just don't recall. It's been 5 years now.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. I still remember mine from 2 years ago.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, for Massachusetts, I wasn't, like, for New York, I was studying very, like, most of, like, the, probably 95% of my study time was on New York. For the New York bar.
Oh, because you took it.
I took
both.
Yeah, exactly. At the same administration. And so it was basically like, learn New York and then learn some distinctions and like this one like narrow area that's on one but not the other.
Okay.
And that was kind of it. And so I didn't really spend much time. I'm
guessing there was a lot of overlap?
I mean, there's a lot of overlap in law anyway. The MBE is the same.
Sure.
And actually you share that. But I mean, that law basically applies. You know what I mean? You can know most things in relationship to MBE law.
You didn't take the MBE twice, did you?
What do you mean?
Because you took the New York and the Massachusetts bar at the same administration.
Yes, that's shared an MBE.
Okay.
But I did take it again in California.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't have enough years to wait out.
Nope.
That and I like the MBE. Like I would take it. No, like in the sense that I think I'd do better on the MBE, and it would actually help.
Yeah.
I
think we talked about this before.
But yeah,
different strengths for different people.
Exactly.
And
my wife applied to take the attorney's exam.
Yeah, how did this come up anyway? Like, did you guys just start talking about the bar all of a sudden?
Yeah, she's studying now.
Okay.
And you know we were discussing like. What went wrong, and like how she felt going into all of the different administrations of the test.
Because
she took New York and Massachusetts when I did. She passed Massachusetts and did not pass New York.
And she took California?
She's taken California before and didn't pass.
Okay.
She passed the second time she took New York.
Okay.
And she, yeah. And so she's taking a lot of bar exams. She's taken
3 on the East Coast, 4th one here. Now it's the 5th one, right?
Yeah.
5th one going in. But second time in California.
Okay. Right, this is her second time in California. Yeah. She didn't really have a good like strategy going into the California bar.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't take a core. She kind of tried to use like leftover barbie materials.
I did that for the second time.
But she was, but she wasn't very. Yeah, she wasn't like focused and.
So she's just studying full time now.
So now she's studying.
Okay.
Like she just started, kind of really gearing into studying, and so she's. So I mean, we were discussing like, what went wrong,
okay.
and what, you know, and. part of one of her issues was she like you know is basically training yourself to not like to not care about making these bad statements.
Mm. Oh, so you brought it up, being arrogant at the actual.
Exactly. Practice. So right, and being humble during studying, as opposed to some people where they're like, I know this, I got this, and everything, and then when they get to the test, they clam up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do that. You know that you will see questions that you aren't 100% comfortable with.
Yeah. So you should be like, I was gonna say you should be going all out while studying and all out when you're actually on the test, but in kind of a different way. You're like preparing.
Exactly. It's a different aspect.
Yeah.
Like I mean, while you're studying, I think it's actually I still think it's good to kind of make up law while you're studying, like while you're doing tests.
Sure.
But learn the right law.
Yeah.
Learn as much as you can. Do whatever you can. Focus on things that you're not good at.
Yeah.
But when you're doing like a practice test, make up law. That way you're more comfortable with it.
Yeah. And then if you get it wrong, you learn it for the next time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I think it's really important to, to be able to accept your deficiencies.
Yeah.
When you're studying.
That's very important.
And,
I think it should be.
But on the test itself, don't approach any question like, this is the question that I don't know.
Yeah, there's no reason to.
Everything that you're doing, be very free to show off. And that's what I mean by arrogant.
Yeah.
I picked words to illustrate the point, but I think you want to show off as much as you can.
Without sacrificing too much efficiency, like just BSing everything.
Right, without sacrificing. Yeah,
or
time,
not
time,
efficiency, but like accuracy.
Time will.
Yeah.
Well, no, what I'm saying is be willing to sacrifice some accuracy.
Yeah.
For not answering a question.
Like earlier I said efficiency, but that wasn't the right word. I meant,
right.
Accuracy. Like,
yeah, and but you should be willing to sacrifice, like you can, for instance, if you were to, if you took the whole 3-day bar exam, you answered 5 MBE questions, and you answered like one issue on one essay, your essay, you could have been completely accurate in everything that you put down on that test. You will not do well. But everything that you wrote will be accurate.
Well, that's kind of an extreme example.
That is a very extreme example.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, it's not about accuracy necessarily. It's about be accurate to the level that you can be.
Sure.
And then beyond that, you have to be willing to lie a little, bluff, make stuff up. You have to be willing to say, okay, well, I'm not 100% sure whether this is the exception or the rule, but I'm just gonna throw that concept out there, apply it, see what I get. You don't hold yourself back because you're not 100% certain.
So you think Crystal was kind of like that held back?
Yeah, I think part of it. Yeah, so part of her issue was that she felt like she didn't want to write more because, you don't want to write stuff. Like, you don't want to write stuff that you don't know.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I mean, especially when, doing the work we're doing, making incorrect statements to the patent office could potentially be malpractice.
Mm-hmm.
And then, it makes you look stupid in front of a client. There's no, there's a lot of negative repercussions for that. Whereas those negative repercussions basically don't exist on the pass-fail test that is the bar exam.
I can kind of understand not wanting to do that because, you're taking a test, you're tired, your willpower is, shot, and you just don't feel like typing, stuff that doesn't make sense, kind of have to push because, this is your one chance to do it.
Because generally speaking, the stuff, when you know the law and you know how to apply, you see the facts that call the issue, and so you can apply the law to the facts,
mm-hmm.
things will flow. It's really those like, okay, I know something is here, and you have to kind of go deep and try and figure out, okay, I see the facts that are calling an issue out, you know, but I don't know exactly what that issue is. I think in those situations it's good to be arrogant.
Yeah, makes sense.
You know, make stuff up, or you know, if you see some elements of something but not other elements, go for it.
Only if you're not sure in the first place and you're just...
Yeah. No, like, I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
This is like secondary strategy.
Yeah.
First strategy is play the game straightforward.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like poker. Most of poker is very straightforward play. You know, don't be doing weird, interesting stuff on every single hand. If you want to, you know, don't bluff every time, because you will lose. But, you know, we're done, you know. So in the same way, I think straightforward strategy, trying to know all of the issues, know all of the law, and doing as well as you can, and presenting it in a logical way that works, and where you know the issues and you can apply it and everything is definitely game number one.
Yeah.
I'm talking about kind of the more subtle.
Sure.
What happens in situations where you aren't as comfortable.
Yeah.
That's not going to get you through the test. Being bold. Being bold won't pass a bar exam for you. What it might do is get you, you know, is really nudge your score just a touch.
Yeah, I agree.
That would be, you know, and like, I mean, when you look at like the chart showing passage, like, it's kind of like a very, you know, it's a bell curve about where people are, and like, people generally are in. Like, most people are kind of bunched in the middle, and like the passage line is kind of an arbitrary line there. So like, there's a bunch of people just on one side of the line, just on the other side of the line.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen people miss the pass mark by like 2 or 9 points, you know.
So because of that, I think it's just really, you know, it's not things. You know, it's not giant things that are putting you one side of that arbitrary pass line or not. And so because of that, I think it's those things that may mean the difference between being pissed off and having to take it again and somebody who has no clue how, you know, not a clue in the world how they did, but they know they at least passed.
I mean, although you should still try to grab the big wins, like, you know, getting all the, you know, being able to IRAC, knowing how to do a performance test.
Without a doubt, because if you go into a test not having done an essay question before and having to figure out how to structure things, you're just going to waste so much time. Like, I mean, Barbary had this class where, like, I mean, you want to present the information to the grader in the easiest manner possible.
Yes.
You know, and so you want to think about it like a rubric. You don't want to think about it like a mystery novel where the end, you know, where there's a twist at the end. No.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't want to put things kind of everywhere, you know, that's an unreadable mess that has things there.
Yeah.
Because you want to group issues together, you want to put them together, you want to make everything work. You know, and I think you can learn that prior to the test, and that you should be comfortable enough doing that prior to the test that it's pretty automatic.
Sure.
And like, that's how you kind of think about things.
You know, speaking of which, doesn't New York kind of advocate a crack style method? So you start with a conclusion, and then maybe the issue. I don't know.
Yeah,
but you start with the conclusion in New York, right? Like on the bar or like on the finals or whatever.
I don't remember exactly how. I didn't really change up my answer style. I always like to do just issue, like, I just do an IRAC.
Okay.
And stating a conclusion first is...
don't
fine
do it.
Too.
I would
oh,
not.
So I don't think there's a problem there.
At least, well,
I think there is a problem if you now start skipping parts of Iraq. Iraq, if you want to throw a conclusion along with your, you know, whatever, that's fine. But I don't think there's a problem with stating a conclusion. I just think there is a fundamental problem skipping some of those Iraq steps.
Well, yeah, you definitely need the Iraq part. But I don't think concluding ahead of time will help you at all.
I don't think it'll help you either, because they don't care about the answer. They're looking for nuggets within your answer. Like, generally speaking, when people are reviewing your answer, they're looking for Iraq portions.
Right.
So throwing a conclusion there might get you a little, but like if you stand at the end, it's not gonna better you. If you're the type of person that will, you know, like I mean, I don't think it's going to hurt you to include a conclusion, but I definitely think that concluding early may lead you to skip the steps of analyzing
yeah.
law and facts.
Yeah, there's that.
So don't ever let, you know, I mean, because you get points for that, and like, that's easy. I think for the most part, most people are good at that. But I think some people are bad at like writing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you do it. I punch you in the face, my punch caused that. I mean, it's not these things aren't like difficult. That's probably the easiest part. Mm-hmm. If you knew the law and you knew the facts, you can apply them very easily. And I think most people don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some people have a problem with actually like writing that stuff down.
Yeah.
What comes very easily in their head and they think is obvious.
Like putting it down for the greater.
Right, you need
yeah.
to put it down on the... And that's where, like, you know, don't feel like anything is obvious. Because, shit, hopefully, like, I mean, the intention of the test is for all of these issues to be relatively straightforward, such that there are right and wrong answers, such that you can show these issues. And therefore, you're not crafting novel law with this exam.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, things are going to be obvious. But that's the point. You're not there to, like, you're there to demonstrate what you know, to be arrogant about what you know. And, you know, you don't have to assume that, you know, assume that the reader is stupid in the sense that they can't put one and one together. You need to do it
right.
for them.
Show your work.
Exactly. And, like, you know, because, yes, the grader probably knows that 1 + 1 = 2, but just showing one and showing the two doesn't mean that you will get because you get points for that.
You know, the grader might also have a different opinion about what the conclusion should be too. In that case,
sure.
if you stated ahead of time, it might kind of, you know, bias
Possibly.
You against it.
Possibly.
So I think there's nothing to gain. Conclusion
yeah,
ahead of time.
I really,
everything
I agree,
to lose.
I agree with you. I don't think there's much to gain from stating a conclusion
yeah.
ahead of time. Some people like to do things in like headings.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of headings.
Oh, so am I.
Like,
I think graders are looking for issues rather than conclusions. So
nobody's ever looking for conclusions.
Yeah.
Like they want to make sure that a conclusion is stated
somewhere.
But like I mean it's like okay. You know, because you have to think about writing your essays like a rubric would be structured. You get a couple, you know, you get some points for hit, you know, noticing that there is a negligence issue. You get some points for stating the law. You get some points for application of the law to the facts presented in the problem,
mm-hmm.
and you get some points for stating a conclusion.
Yeah.
Hit it like a rubric. Make it seem like a rubric. The more it looks like their rubric, the easier it is. They don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Don't make them work hard.
Yeah. Make their life easier. I mean, they're incentivized to just go through as quickly as possible.
Right. So, like, if you hide part of your answer, they may not see it in your review and say, I don't think they applied the law there. You know? Or, like, sometimes people, like, do, like, a combo law fact sentence.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, like, nobody's going, because of the time constraints, nobody's going to be like, wait a second, is that a legal statement, law statement, combo platter? It doesn't matter. Don't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's and like sometimes people do that because they're unsure of the law. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, maybe I can hide something from them. Don't.
If they don't see it, if not, they're not going to read it, they're not going to give you points.
Exactly. Be arrogant. State law, even if it's going to be wrong, or like, and when I say wrong, I mean like not 100% right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we all have a, you know, you don't go through and study all this material and not have a clue about lots of things. You might have forgotten a couple of elements of you know, the validity of a will. Mm-hmm. You know, but you know the big picture. And so that's what I'm talking about. You know, nothing, like, what the things that I'm talking about are really on the margins. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, you got a guy off the street coming in, you know, to take this a bar exam cold. I mean, God bless that guy, but he's probably not going to do well. Even if that guy's a lawyer, he's probably not going to do well.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I see where I see anything that I'm talking about. It's really on the margins. It's not.
Yeah.
You can't base anything on kind of bravado. Mm-hmm. And though you can take somebody who knows the law and knows how to apply things, and they can just absolutely suck about structure and, you know, and lots of things, and that can just tank you.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I remember the first time, so I didn't do any kind of practice bar study for Massachusetts until a week before the, no, looked at the law a month, like, in July 4th of 2010. Mm-hmm. That day, and then a week before the test, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do a mock bar exam. So the Tuesday, the week before the test, I did New York. Wednesday, I did a mock MBE full. And then Thursday, I did a mock Massachusetts.
Oh, by the way, where did you get your mock MBE?
I used Bar Requestion.
Oh, you just picked out 200 random questions, or did they have?
No, I picked them from like the sections. So I did like 30, you know what I mean, like 33, 32.
Okay.
In
order?
No, I think they had groups that were like the Barbary books offered kind of practice set.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I think they offer practice set like hundreds, so you can pick two 100s, and I think those are approximately good enough, and that's what I did.
Okay, got it.
Because I think it's really important to do.
Yeah.
You know, at least one. And so
sure, yeah.
For Massachusetts, like, I'm looking at these questions and I'm like, holy shit, how do I answer these? Because they were so different than New York's question prompts. And like, because they were so much more like wide open, and like sometimes they wanted you to like make up facts in them, which is crazy compared to New York, because New York, they didn't want any of that. It appeared in all of the questions that we were answering, and so it was so strange answering those questions. Like, I kind of like said like time out to my wife, who was also doing this with me.
Oh.
And we were just like, because we were studying, I said, I'm like, do you know how to answer these questions? So we were doing that in the law school where we were.
Yeah.
And during the summer before the bar exam. And like, we were like, okay, let's see if we can find somebody else around here who's like taking Massachusetts for real. And we asked her, like, what do you do to answer one of these questions? Because the Barbary lecture sucked. It basically, like, they gave you a DVD with, like, an hour-long lecture, and it's like, study the you know, the New York Massachusetts distinctions, and answer the questions like you would New York, and you'll do fine. And I'm like, these questions are so different from New York. How could you do this? And my wife was feeling the same way, so we asked somebody, and they basically said, like, oh, you know, these questions are, you know, you can't, like, you know, you have to answer them in a slightly different way. She didn't know what New York was like, but, like, they were kind of more open-ended and more, you were able to, like, they didn't give you every single fact to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of had to make it up or go kind of both ways on an issue. If this is the fact, if that's the fact, then you can be dispositive, which is annoying as all hell.
It's kind of like the ping pong style, like, oh, if it was like this, then
right.
It would be
so
like
you can
that.
Go to kind of decision trees based on learning stuff, and that's like it was just so strange because I just wasn't used to that kind of question. So because I did, you know, because we did that, we were able to know, oh, here's what's going on, and then actually end up, you know, taking the test and feeling comfortable on that day.
Yeah.
Also, Massachusetts was great. New York on like MBE day, if you had like a pen, they took it from you.
I had a paperclip, and this proctor opened up my bag and took it from me while I was doing the MBE.
Really?
Yeah.
So we in New York, there was this monster. Like, I took it in the stadium, the test.
Okay.
And when we were leaving on MBE day, I didn't have anything taken from me, but there was there were multiple mountains. Probably about that high, that wide, just kind of like that, of pens.
Taken from students?
Taken from people taking the test. Like multiple, on multiple tables. And basically they were like, if we took some from you, take some back.
Take some back.
Yeah, like if we took some, take some. And because like some people had like, you know, just giant packs of pens and, you know, and everything with them. Yeah, and they just confiscated all of this stuff. And so In Massachusetts, it was like the exact opposite. We took it on like, we took it on a like in a test center that was only for people who didn't take the MBE in Massachusetts. So I mean, I can't comment on how it is generally, but like I mean, they were so lax in terms of security procedures there.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, yeah, if you have your cell phone, just bring it up to the front and, you know, we'll hold it for you. And, you know, you just pick it up on your way out. I lost my baggie of stuff. I left it at the hotel, like, on my checkout desk. Like, I had the thing there and I left it on the table, like, on the checkout thing. I was signing, you know, my name to check out, and I left my bag with my watch, with my everything there. And I didn't have enough time. Oh, they also had breakfast, which was incredible.
At your
hotel? At the test.
At the test?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, what the hell is this?
With security so lax, you could just like walk in even though you're not taking the test.
I don't think it was, like, I mean, they took attendance. Like, there was like a, you know, a roll called and stuff. So it wasn't like crazy, but like, so I didn't have another watch. My watch was in the bag, and that bag was at the hotel. My wife had an alarm clock that I asked, hey, can I use this alarm, like a digital like alarm clock, a battery-operated like digital alarm clock? Yeah, why not?
They allowed it?
Yeah. And I had that on, sitting next to me during the test. I mean, no way would that have been allowed in New York.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, I think, funny. But
yeah, that's pretty funny.
But yeah, it was just kind of crazy, the whole, like, the difference in security procedures, test to test.
Yeah.
And also test center to test center.
Yeah.
Even within, because my wife's New York experience was a little different in her two test centers and between the third test center that I was taking in. Because we were both in Albany, New York, taking the test, but we were both in two different buildings. I was in the stadium, and she was in this concert hall.
But it was considered the same testing center?
No. It was two different testing centers. They were close to each other, like relatively close.
You guys deliberately went to different ones?
No. They assigned us different ones.
So you can't choose where to take the test?
Correct. You can choose a city. Okay. Like they offered it in multiple cities.
I see.
Okay. But test center, you couldn't. So like, which wasn't a big deal because like they were within walking distance of each other.
Mm-hmm.
My friend and her boyfriend were at testing centers that you very much could not walk between.
Mm-hmm.
And so things got a little weird. Like, just coordination was more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of, yeah, New York was crazy. But I was able to show my wife where I went to undergrad, because it was in that city.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason why we took it there was because it was the shortest drive from where the Massachusetts bar was going to be. So that's kind of where why we selected the test site.
Well, she also took the Massachusetts bar at the same.
Yeah, she took both. She took both along with me.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you mind if I upload this to my website?
Oh, you were recording?
I was recording.
Oh.
I thought I told you. No.
You did, but I thought it wasn't working.
No, it was working. I think it's working. Okay. It better be working. Yes, I think it's working.
Yeah, go for it. How long was that?
51 minutes.
Well, that was my lunch.
Sorry.
No, no problem.
No, that was my hour as well. But
yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I have no problem.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Thanks.
If the quality is decent.
Yeah, I'll have to check. I'm just sad that I didn't record the first two discussions we had about the bar exam.
Well, maybe you know, if you wanted to have like a real podcast, we could.
I'm just going to label this like podcast number 3 and make people search for 1 and 2. Which does exist, but
yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Okay, enjoy your lunch, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.